From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Over the past few weeks, there's been growing attention to a disease called cyclosporiasis. The parasite that causes it, Cyclospora, can be found in contaminated water and raw food. It's not unusual for there to be some instances of the disease during any given summer, but this summer, the CDC has counted more than 4,000 lab-confirmed cases across the country. And according to the Illinois Department of Public Health, there have been more than 500 confirmed and probable cases of it here. In a major outbreak that now includes our 21st state, iceberg lettuce from Taylor Farms of Mexico was identified as a likely source. Among their clients is Taco Bell, which says it's removed all of Taylor Farms lettuce from its stores. But there are other clusters that have not yet been linked to any particular products. Now, this comes as the federal government's food safety systems have been cut under the second Trump administration, and there are worries that those cuts have slowed down the response to outbreaks, leaving people desperate for answers about what is and is not safe to eat. Joining us now to talk about all of this is Dr. Vidya Sundaresan, professor and chief of infectious diseases at the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine in Springfield, also medical advisor to the Sangamon County Department of Public Health. Dr. Sundaresan, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Dr. Sharjeel Ahmad, director of infectious disease with OSF Healthcare in Peoria. Also, professor of clinical medicine in the Department of Internal Medicine at the University of Illinois College of Medicine, which is also in Peoria. Dr. Ahmad, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And I should say, we reached out to the Illinois Department of Public Health for this conversation. They did not respond. We hope to have people from the department back on the show in the near future. That said, if you have questions about cyclosporiasis, you can join the conversation today by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. We're on this topic for the first half of the show today. Again, the number is 800-222-9455. All right, Dr. Ahmad, say more than I did about the introduction about what exactly cyclosporiasis is.
Cyclospora is a parasitic infection. Humans are the only known hosts for this. And we do get these outbreaks in the U.S. during summertime, usually May to August. We have been linked to basically certain raw products, raw food products. Pathogen is transmitted probably through contamination of our food, probably water is contaminated, or it's probably at the source where it's being produced. That's the most likely reason. It can cause severe diarrhea, and I'm sure everyone's talked about the explosive diarrhea on all different media. So that's the main symptom. It can persist for weeks at times. And of course, people with a compromised immune system are the ones who are at more risk for severe disease.
Two words I do not like to hear put together. Dr. Ahmad, what sets this apart from something like E. coli or norovirus, some of the other common gastrointestinal illnesses we hear about?
So remember, this is a different entity. These are not bacteria. The E. coli is a bacteria, norovirus is a viral infection. This is a parasitic infection. So it behaves differently. This one has, you don't get symptoms immediately after exposure. Also, when this parasite is shed out in the stool, it needs a period of time for maturation out in the environment. It can be a week or so. So it's not like you're going to get symptoms immediately. So it's about a week or so after the contamination that you may have issues with it. So viral illnesses like norovirus are, you know, you don't have antivirals for norovirus per se. You have vaccines. For this, we do have certain medications which do work. But the problem with this one is despite all the years we've known about this, it still remains, this organism still remains a mystery for the most part. And the biggest thing with this is it's not easy to disinfect. The big thing which we can do is like if you cook the food thoroughly, it will kill the parasite. But other methods, just like the simple washing, it can reduce the risk, but doesn't eliminate it completely. And same way with the refrigeration, it can reduce, but not completely eliminate the risk of infection.
Cook the food thoroughly, which is not something anyone wants to do to their salads, I'm sure. So, all right. So, I want to read a message from our texting group. This is from John in Springfield, who wants to know the quote exact source of the virus and how exactly how it transferred to the growing lettuce plants and how it could have been prevented, I should say. So, Dr. Ahmad, how about that? What are we talking? People working in the fields not washing their hands after using the bathroom, or is something else going on here? What do we know about how this actually gets on the food we're eating?
As I said, it's still kind of a mystery, but in general, what we think is because it's again at the level where it's being produced. So it could be, it's passed in a person's stool. And then if that contaminates the soil and then the water gets contaminated, so that's where it happens actually. So it could be the washing of the hands, or it's like, you have those toilet facilities at the farm, those portable toilets and stuff, and somehow if the water supply gets contaminated, the irrigation water gets contaminated, then your crops get contaminated as well.
All right, let me bring in Dr. Vidya Sundaresan now. What do we know about the spread of cyclosporiasis in Illinois and across the country right now?
So, Brian, we have seen Cyclospora every year. In fact, first identified in the 1970s, but this year there's been an upswing. And we have had about nine states now, four of them just recently joined. Four more states that were probed were Illinois, Kansas, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, but we already knew Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, West Virginia. They're linking this to a common food source or common source, so multi-state outbreak. We've also seen it in about 41 other states, and a lot of it is going back to iceberg lettuce, sourced mainly from central Mexico, tropical country, and the produce probably got contaminated there, and that's been imported. So that's kind of stopped now with the recall. But there are also other food sources which they're looking at. It may all be linked to one source, or it may be linked to multiple sources. For instance, North Carolina, they're looking at parsley and cilantro, some other food sources too. Raspberries in the past have been implicated in cyclosporiasis or cyclospora infections. So it's still being investigated, and we're still putting all the pieces together. But for most part, the nine-state, multi-state outbreak here that is linked to the iceberg lettuce is a common source implicated.
All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we're talking about Cyclospora and cyclosporiasis, the disease that comes from this parasite, and what's driving an outbreak of it that's affected some people in Illinois, hundreds of people in Illinois, and especially hit other Midwestern states like Michigan. I should say we asked members of our texting group about this, and you can join that by texting the word talk to 217-803-0730. Lloyd in Danville said, first, research takes time. Secondly, we must prioritize public health, re-educate our citizens of the dangers, and get producers on board with the protections that reduce the likelihood of disease and outbreaks. Education is the key, Lloyd says. We also asked whether people have changed their eating habits in response to these outbreaks. Anne in Urbana said, we are not eating lettuce from any sources. Helen in Springfield, meanwhile, said, I noticed that our fellow American citizens are not as careful as they could be at avoiding food poisoning. In a fast food restaurant, for example, I heard a person ordering lots of lettuce on his sandwich. That was unnecessarily risky at this time. Restaurants and customers alike must exercise caution, extra caution, during this outbreak. My guests today are Sharjeel Ahmad with OSF Medicine and the University of Illinois College of Medicine, both in Peoria, and Dr. Vidya Sundaresan with the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine in Springfield. You can join us at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. 9455. So, Dr. Sundaresan, I should say, when I mention these, you know, hundreds of cases in Illinois, thousands nationwide, these are just the lab confirmed cases. Obviously, not everyone is getting tested. I presume this is an undercount. And, you know, I understand it's challenging to trace cyclospora even in the best of times. Why is that?
So, many reasons for that. First of all, for foodborne illnesses, many of them you can kind of track back and check the food source right away. If you look at IDPH's website, they give a very nice schematic of how long it takes, and about 3 weeks or so. You don't always have the contaminated food available for testing, number one. Number two, unreported cases, many people don't really have symptoms. So if they don't have symptoms, they don't seek medical care, and those cases are also not reported. And finally, people don't get sick right away. There is this lead time from the time that they acquire the infection with the contaminated food. There's that lead time. So again, there's that time lag, which contributes to people not being diagnosed right away. So all these kind of add up, and there is underreporting because of that.
So with that in mind, what do you make of the public health response to the current outbreaks? And, you know, you can break it down locally, statewide, and nationally as well.
Correct. So public health response is very important. Surveillance is key, as for most infectious diseases. Reporting from the lab and clinicians can report to the local health department and then the state health department, and then CDC collects, analyzes, and provides data at the national level. There are a few things which are challenging in terms of trying to link all this to the food sources, getting that tested, and also the type of tests we have. Stool tests for cyclospora are not just a routine stool test. You have to order it specifically, a PCR test. That takes time to come back. But then all this can be coordinated well. And then I think we are getting a fairly good sense of the numbers that we are seeing in terms of lab-confirmed cases. One other thing is genetic fingerprinting. For E. coli, we have that entire genome that has been sequenced. We can do that easily. So for cyclospora, Dr. Ahmed mentioned this as well, it's a little bit difficult to understand because there's only certain specific markers in stool that we're looking at to have that genetic fingerprinting to identify those common sources. So that's what's taking time in terms of identifying and linking these sources together.
And you know, your mention of PCR tests, boy, polymerase chain reaction, if I remember correctly, you're taking me right back to the COVID-19 pandemic. I haven't heard that particular acronym or initialism in a long time. So let's talk about Taylor Farms. This is the company that voluntarily recalled iceberg lettuce. We mentioned it's in central Mexico. At one point, the FDA, Federal Food and Drug Administration, said it had a product sample that tested positive for cyclospora, but then the FDA walked it back and said, no, actually, that was a false positive. Dr. Sundaresan, how unusual is that?
Well, you know, I think you always need a confirmation for this. And then genetic finger typing here has been a little bit harder than it is for other sources like E. coli. It has been a little bit harder. We have a source that's important, and the recall was done in a timely fashion.
Okay, Dr. Ahmed, as I was saying earlier, there's been a lot of uncertainty about these outbreaks, and that has made people, you know, sort of desperate for answers. I wonder how you deal with that as a infectious disease physician.
Yeah, I think the prime example was COVID-19 epidemic, right? It was a brand new pandemic. We don't know much. So it's one of those things where I think in my case, we basically have to emphasize, we will try to give you the information as it comes along, because I think it's all a learning process for all of us. That happened with the COVID pandemic and now with the cyclosporiasis. Yes, we've known about the existence of this parasite for decades. We know how to treat it. But again, you know, and this is, again, the largest outbreak we've had. So it's one of those things where I think all of us in this field are checking our sources every day, the news, media, CDC, everything else, trying to put the pieces together, discussing it amongst our colleagues, other professionals who are other experts as well. And then basically, it's again, it's one of those things where I have to like go and update myself every day on this to make sure whatever I'm discussing with my patients is accurate. And I don't want to create any kind of misconceptions, especially in this era, you know, with social media and everything else. So many misconceptions can just be transmitted through that. So again, it's like sticking to the facts, less speculation, keeping up to date from the information from the public health agency and CDC. And I think that's the way to go with dealing with a situation like this.
Oh, you're taking me back again to when I was a regular listener to This Week in Virology, the podcast. Maybe there's a This Week in Parasitology I need to catch up on. All right, we're going to take a break. We will continue with Dr. Sharjeel Ahmad and Dr. Vidya Sundaresan, both infectious disease specialists. We're talking about cyclosporiasis, the apparently lettuce-related outbreak that we've seen affecting Illinoisans and many other Americans. 800-222-9455. This is The 21st Show. We'll be right back. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the multi-state outbreak of cyclosporiasis caused by the parasite, the cyclospora. There have been more than 4,000 lab confirmed cases across the country, 500 confirmed and probable cases here in Illinois, many more cases probably out there that have not been lab confirmed because, as we talked about before the break, sometimes people don't get that sick, they don't seek treatment, so we never learn about what is out there. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have questions about what we should be doing in this time, our guests can answer them. Dr. Vidya Sundaresan is professor, chief of infectious disease at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield. And Dr. Sharjeel Ahmad is director of infectious disease at OSF Healthcare in Peoria, also professor of clinical medicine in the Department of Internal Medicine at the U of I College of Medicine. That's in Peoria. So we did get some text messages about sort of the practical implications of this. And Dr. Ahmad, I'll start with you. This is a question from Franny in Hinckley, who says, I haven't purchased any bagged lettuce since they said lettuce was the probable source. And then she has another question about what to do if you've contracted the parasite. What's the best remedy? But let's take those in turn. So what do you recommend, Dr. Ahmad? Should people not be consuming any lettuce, iceberg lettuce? Or, you know, if it's not, you know, likely from this particular farm, you know, if it's grown in the States, for example, you know, how are you approaching this?
Yeah, I think it's one of those where I probably more of a common sense of, obviously, bagged lettuce is definitely a no-no. And we're seeing these numbers up, the investigations are going. I think, as you said, Taco Bell has kind of removed all the products from that farm as well. Now, I think it's more about a balance. Now, if I'm going to tell you, avoid all fresh vegetables and fruits, that's not probably the right thing for me to say. But I think since the lettuce is implicated, probably hold off on a while. Other raw products, as I said, if you're going to be using, especially in people who have got bad immune system. So we're talking about patients who have uncontrolled HIV/AIDS, people who are on medication to suppress the immune system, whether it's for certain like autoimmune conditions, or like they are cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy, the very young and the very old, malnourished, in pregnant individuals, probably need to look, you know, be careful about what they consume raw at this point. Maybe defer that for a while. I think the lettuce is one of those things for now. Probably may have to avoid it for a while until we get more information. And again, I think the big message is going to be check your news sources daily. Check, you know, your local public health department or the state health department website regularly. Go to your trusted news sources. check on up-to-dates and then basically go from there. It's not this, this outbreak, I mean, it's not gonna last forever. I'm hoping maybe usually these outbreaks in the US, we've had them last between May and August. So maybe end of August, again, this is probably just speculation or something. Maybe then we can all go back to being resuming our regular consumption of lettuce. But for now, I think it's more like, especially if you have a bad immune system, you got to be careful. Now, if you get infection or you suspect the infection, definitely reach out to your healthcare provider. Especially, if you start having symptoms like, diarrhea, you have less appetite, bloating, cramping, nausea, those kind of symptoms. They're not going away in a few days. Your symptoms are waxing and waning. This can happen with cyclosporiasis, where the symptoms get better, they can get worse. Then you may want to reach out to your healthcare provider, and then you can be tested. One thing, as I think Dr. Sundaresan mentioned before, this is not a test you can detect on routine stool test studies. So your doctor will have to order a specific test for it. Like, they'll have to send a request to the lab that I want the stool testing for cyclosporiasis, the PCR test. But routine stool testing is not going to catch this, will not detect this infection. And then, yes, if severe enough, yes, you can get a medication which is available. There is treatment available which can reduce the duration and severity of symptoms once you start taking it.
When we say bagged lettuce, I mean, are you talking bagged like any sort of prepackaged? Some of it comes in these little plastic boxes. And then are you also avoiding, at the restaurant, getting your, Chipotle bowl or submarine sandwich or something like that? And, how specific? Or are you just saying all lettuce in the grocery store, even
Yeah, I think
stuff
the
that's just
bagged one
sitting out there?
especially, I think, like, well, we've taken the name from the one like Taylor Farms, for example, right? But and I think the biggest thing in the US now is a lot of our food is coming from outside, right? The global supply chain, we're getting a lot of our produce from there. So I think especially bagged lettuce, which is being imported. So probably we'll have to check the labels. I think that one I'd probably be a more careful about with that. And as especially if you have a bad immune system, probably just avoid all kind of lettuce and like fresh lettuce altogether at this point. But yes, there are other food implicated as well. But yes, I think especially for lettuce, bagged lettuce, which is being imported, I would probably hold off on that for a while.
Dr. Sundaresan, I got another question for you. This one is from Tony in Champaign, who says, is cyclosporiasis the primary cause of explosive diarrhea? And he also adds, I take a large dose of garlic oil if eating risky food. Is that really antibiotic? He says.
There are many things that can help. From what I was seeing in terms of the medications that can be given, antibiotics, I did not see that in my research, but if it helps, why not? Symptomatic treatment is a big part of taking care of people with cyclosporiasis. So yes, Bactrim, trimethoprim sulfa, or a sulfa drug, is typically what is given for treatment when indicated. You don't need to give antibiotics to everyone. Hydration is key. But as Dr. Ahmed was mentioning, people who are immunocompromised, people who have symptoms that are lingering, in those cases, yes, antibiotics are definitely helpful and needed. Pregnant patients, you don't want to use the same antibiotic too close to term pregnancy or too early. There are some other alternatives as well, but definitely treatment for those who are immunocompromised and those who've been having lingering symptoms. And coming to that explosive diarrhea, that is what is one of the typical symptoms that we kind of describe with cyclosporiasis, but it can happen with other infectious diarrhea as well.
Last thing I want to ask you about is, we got a lot of messages wondering about the Trump administration's cutting of public health, and even going back to the first term when the first year of the COVID-19 pandemic was during the Trump administration. The rest of it, or the next 4 years, I guess, were under Biden. But the public health system was not targeted in the way it has been by the current Trump administration, right? With RFK Jr., a noted skeptic of a lot of mainstream medical ideas, leading the Health and Human Services, other people who sort of follow those ideas being put in top positions. I wonder, from your perspective, as somebody, you know, doing this local infectious disease public health work, do you see a difference in the sort of government response, the federal government response to this outbreak as compared to others in the past during different, you know, government leadership? And Dr. Sundaresan, I'll start with you.
You know, public health is key to preventing, and surveillance is really, really important. We have to have those systems in place. And we realized how important the infrastructure is with the pandemic. And it's very important to have that ongoing surveillance, and you know, situations like this reiterate that for sure. I'm quoting a physician, Dr. Adalja, who always says that infectious diseases is the default state of the world. So, you know, definitely we need to have that ongoing support for public health. Tests are available, you know, through CDC, support is available. IDPH is phenomenal. We have a fantastic public health system here in Illinois. So yes, that support is available to local health departments when we need that. We reach out and we definitely get that. But yes, I think all this just reiterates how important public health surveillance is, and the ongoing support for this is of paramount importance.
Dr. Vidya Sundaresan is with the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine. Dr. Sharjeel Ahmad is with OSF Medicine and the U of I College of Medicine, both in Peoria. Thank you so much for your time today. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Thank you.